One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
The punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. We're out here again. Beautiful Lizzie McNeil's out on the patio. What a gorgeous night. We're brought to you by Mike Haggerty Buick GMC and McCann's Irish Oatmeal, and we thank them both for being our sponsors for oh so very long. Just got to pick up a new sponsor, Carol Ann Gallagher of, well, we'll give you her info later, but she's going to be on the show probably next week, hopefully. But she's a great PI attorney here in Chicago and also grew up in Ireland, so we're very thrilled to be working with her. And tonight we're back here on our continuing our focus on Irish first responders. And the reason we do that is because we want to discover the myths growing from our own experiences here in Irish Chicago. And all we have to do really is look at our Irish police, firefighters, and paramedics. These are the heroes of our time fighting in a war that never ends, risking their lives for the safety and well-being of us and our family. And that's what Hibernian Radio is all about. We're going to uncover the oral history and stories of our mythical Irish heroes and warriors. And tonight we got one, a great one, a Carmel guy, the great Hugh Dennehy, a 23-year veteran of the Chicago Fire Department, a lieutenant. What district are you in?
First District downtown.
Of course. How fitting, the First District. Welcome to the show, Hugh.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you, pal. Now, not only are you a firefighter, a lieutenant, but you're also the coach, a baseball coach over at Moraine Valley Cyclones. Is that what
that's they
are?
Correct.
Yeah.
I actually played there, and we were the Marauders at that time, but they've changed it since then to the Cyclones.
Okay. What is that? The Cyclones are more politically correct than the Marauders?
God only knows.
They didn't want to offend any real Marauders.
maybe they were kind of like pirates or gypsies or something like that. I don't know.
And you played baseball and football at Carmel as well.
I sure did.
And you went to Moraine Valley and played baseball there.
I did. Actually, I ended up playing a year of football there too. It's pretty.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good story. You might want to.
Well, let me hear it.
So, I'm taking a class over the summer after my freshman year at Moraine.
Yeah.
And I took
trying to get a leg up, right?
Trying to get a leg up, but it was through the football coach. It was his class, and it was just to get some hours up and stuff like that. Well, being the typical 19-year-old, I went to the first class. didn't show up to the rest of the class.
Yeah. So I'll take the
and
test.
And I figured
at the
I'd
final.
Take the final at the end. So I show up at the final, and the coach is like, hey, where you been?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well. I just thought, you know, I was going to get taken care of.
One of those. I can't believe you had the guts to say that.
One of those deals.
Hey, I'm a ball player. Come
yeah.
on.
Yeah. And he says, oh, man, I wish I could help you, but you're going to like this. So he goes, where'd you go to high school? I went to Carmel. He goes, you play football, right? I go, yeah. He goes, I'll tell you what. You come out and play football. I'll help you out.
Oh, no kidding.
If you don't, I don't know what to tell you.
You're getting a big F. You're going to get a big fat F.
So I ended up playing football for a year. And
what position you play?
I played cornerback for them that year. I was playing Irish football at the time. I was really fit and in shape. And
oh, great.
It worked out really well. So I was like, all right, I can do this. My baseball coach thought I was out of my mind. But.
And they were all, compared to a Carmel guy, they were probably fearing you when you went out on the field. You know?
That was pretty funny because I missed triples, but I was playing Irish football.
Perfect.
I was playing Irish football all summer. And
yeah.
The training there is intense. So I get on there. I was there a week, and I was starting at cornerback, and things worked out real well.
That's great. Yeah. Now tell me about the Irish football. Your dad's from Ireland,
my
right?
dad's from Ireland, and it's something that we grew up watching him. He played for a club called the St. Brennan's Gaelic Football Club. They're a Southside team, all a bunch of Irish.
Oh, did Gaelic Park? Did they
play? Yeah, they played. At the time when we were kids, they were playing throughout the city. Gaelic Park wasn't there yet.
Okay.
So they were traveling around. We watched our dad growing up.
What parish did you grow up in?
St. John Fisher.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah, so we were my dad's still there. Same house, 104th and Whipple.
Good for him.
And then the games came around. I was done with high school, and then I was kind of going down a different path, kind of getting, I didn't know what I wanted to do and stuff like that, and my dad's like, come on with me.
Uh-huh.
So he took me out to
now Marine. Now, do you have brothers?
I got another brother, and he came with us, too.
Of course.
And we just started playing Irish football. I was about 18, 19 years old, and we went out there, and we fell in love with it.
That's
it was a great
hardcore,
game.
Too.
It was a great game.
No pads.
No pads. To running's off the charts. And next thing you know, I played with this club called the Chicago Celtics for about 8 years. And
no
then,
kidding.
And we were all Irish-American against all the Irish.
Wow.
And we did well. And then I got a chance to play senior football in Chicago, and I was the only American on this team, the Wolf Tones, Chicago Wolf Tones.
Sure.
And we won 3 North American leagues. And
no
I was,
kidding.
And it was pretty cool.
You're a badass.
And it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so you don't play anymore, though?
No. God, yeah. No. I play a little softball.
Now, you have, how old are your sons?
24, 21, and 19.
Did you get them into the Irish football?
You know, I tried. Just it's different, you know what I mean? They tried a little bit, they liked it, but they're just busy, and I didn't do it till I was about their age anyway.
Sure.
So
yeah,
the American sports took over my life, so they decided to go elsewhere, but that's okay.
Oh yeah,
you know,
I let them do their thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And did they play football at Carmel?
One of the boys played football, Liam, the second guy, and then Deck played baseball.
Declan
played a baseball, and then Jack was a basketball and golf guy.
What year did they get out of Carmel?
So let's think about this. So 24, 21.
They got out after I was in first grade.
Yeah, they're well
on
there.
My sons, yeah.
So,
well, that's terrific. So, and you're also a carpenter.
Did you learn
that from your dad?
When I was in my college years, I was doing my first laboring job was laboring for Irish framing houses.
Yeah, you know what? I was a bricklayer's laborer for Irish bricklaying crew. They were brutal.
Oh, my
Let
gosh.
Me tell you.
I'd tell you the name they called me, but I don't know if that's allowed.
They called me every name in the book. And you know what? I used to, you'd be out there and it'd be like 900 degrees out, and I had to make the mortar. More mud, Mike, more mud. And if they didn't like the mortar, they would take a trowel full of it and just whip it at you across your chest.
Kind of the same thing. They were screaming for boards, and they're yelling at me all day, and I'm carrying.
Yeah. And then at lunch, they'd just go out and get hammered and do it again all the afternoon. Yeah. It's like, I don't know how
they
did
it. We were working 7/12s, and we were framing a 3,500-square-foot house every other day.
Oh, my God.
10 carpenters, and I was a laborer.
You were one laborer for 10 carpenters?
I was the one laborer. I came home crying. I'm looking at my dad. He's like, this is good.
He's tired. He's too tired to go out and party.
I didn't have time to spend my money. I didn't know where I didn't know whether I was coming or going. I was like,
But he picked up a trade.
It worked out really well. So I went to school. I was going to be a math major, and I did well with that. But I ended up being a carpenter for whatever reason. And then I got on the fire department when I was about 29, 20, sometime like that. It's funny because we're living in Orland, and I tell my wife, I'm gonna sign up for the fire department test. She laughs. She goes, 35,000 people are signing up for that. They go ahead. I don't care. We're living in Orland. And she's a suburb girl. And next thing you know, I went with my buddy, and there's a huge line.
Sure.
I'm talking a mile around
the
building.
You got to have the right social security number or whatever.
Yeah, it was. And I got lucky. I ended up scoring well and got the job. And
here you are, 23 years later, a lieutenant.
Yeah.
Good for you.
It's pretty cool.
So what? Where is your house? It's right near here, right near Lizzie's.
So I've been a lieutenant at Engine Company 13, 259 North Columbus for the last 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. A buddy of mine got me down here, engineer Jimmy McDermott, another St. John Fisher kid. We graduated grammar school together, and we were pals together. We were working together. He just got made lieutenant, so.
Oh, good for him.
Congrats
All right,
to
Jimmy.
Him. Yeah.
Now, we had the Hugheses on last week. They have a legacy of 5 generations. But your dad was not a fireman.
I'm first generation, so
my
dad's people were all the Dennehy farm still in County Kerry. My cousin Will Dennehy runs it right now.
Does he really?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
How often do you get back?
I've been there, like I said, 3 years ago. I think I was telling you I was there with my dad. We were there for the All-Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
And we were watching Kerry win the All-Ireland seniors and the minors, which is a big accomplishment.
Sure.
And it's good to see the farm. And my cousin Will is such a good farmer. He's literally goes across Europe talking on... He modernized the farm. He came here and learned concrete throughout his years, in his early years.
Yeah.
And his dad was running the farm. And then he went back and...
He learned, like, masonry?
He was pouring form or pouring concrete,
yeah,
and doing foundations. He knew how to do concrete work. So he, yeah, modernized the whole farm.
Wow.
Where they've got the scrapers that come and get all the dirt out of from the cows, and they scrape it out. He's got conveyors. It's so modernized, it's unbelievable. Pretty cool stuff.
Is it easier?
No.
Well,
maybe
I think
if it's more automated.
It's easier, but it's still the toughest.
And where's the farm?
It's in a town called Curra, County Kerry, which is about 5 miles outside of Castle Island.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And isn't Castle Island one where all of the 399 guys studied?
That's what I'm hearing, the Castle Island engineers.
The Castle Island
My
University.
My father was an engineer. My brother's an engineer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know Dave Cahill, Black Dave?
Well, Black Dave and my father are very, very good friends.
Oh, no kidding.
Honest to goodness.
That's a small world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dave's the best.
He's one of
and
the best.
And his son George is a terrific guy.
George
as well.
And I played ball together.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, we played Irish football with against each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Small world. And I went to school with his sister in Iowa for a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I haven't met the sister, but
yeah.
They, for years, Dave would show up with George and bring, whenever we had dignitaries in from Ireland, the Kyles would show up. They're good company, good people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, apropos of nothing, but there was a Black Dave and a Red Dave.
Correct. I was going to say Red Dave, but I know both of them.
And Red Dave is passed.
Correct.
His wife died last week. We did her
honest to goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
A wife. That's of terrible. And we can thank Mr. PJOD for that. All right. So throughout the years, 23 years, and now you, obviously you didn't start. How long have you been a lieutenant?
It'll be 9 years this June.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. I got, so I'll give you, want a brief, how the career went. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so I can take a drink.
Yeah. I had no idea about the fire department getting on, first generation guy. So I was fortunate to go to a house on 46th and Cottage Grove, engine 45. Truck
fortunate?
15.
Okay. I know that neighborhood. I don't know
about it. It's a double-edged sword. You know what I mean? I got to get experience that's critical.
A lot of fires.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I saw more fire than I knew what I was going on. And actually, that's the tail end of when it was supposed to be really good.
Yeah.
They considered it one of the busiest firehouses in the world.
No kidding.
In the 70s and 80s at that spot. And that whole area. I mean, there's a bunch of companies that'll brag that they were the busiest. But definitely they were in the middle of it. So I was fortunate to be there. I spent 3 years there, and then I ended up going to Engine 60, 55th in University. Spent a year and a half there, and ended up going.
Is that University of Chicago right there? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and I didn't like it there so much. I ended up going to Engine 84, 62nd in Green.
Okay.
The castle in the ghetto is their saying. I don't know.
The castle in the ghetto.
Yeah, I don't know if that's politically correct anymore to say that, but unfortunately, that's what they called it. But a lot of fire activity there. So my first part of my career was great. And then I ended up veering off into fire investigation.
Oh, no kidding. Arsons and stuff like that?
Yeah, arson investigation, all that.
Yeah.
And I actually spent 12 years in there. I was actually a fireman there and a lieutenant there for some years. And it just ran its course. It was some really interesting stuff. I mean, I have to say it was a great job. Unbelievable, you know, learning the science of how to figure out how fires start, how they incorporate that, and testifying in that. It was really good. I stayed for it because there was more money, overtime opportunity.
Sure.
So I'm like, I'm going to stick this out. And I got kind of good at it.
Yeah.
Then things kind of got south there. It was kind of a different avenue there. So I decided to go back to the field. I spent 2 years in the academy in the...
Teaching?
No, research and development.
We were doing
writing orders and just whatever was necessary at the time, studying, whether it be like certain equipment, what's better, what hoses and stuff like that. It was kind of cool. It was really interesting. Cancer research. We were trying to do e-learning, getting that going, and e-learning starting to take a good hold on the fire department and the police. and I was part of it. So
what's e-learning? Computer?
Yeah, so like we get a lot of our Con Ed through the computer. So like if they want us to learn about Con Ed as being an EMT, they'll say here's a mandatory Con Ed that has to be done in a certain time frame. We want you to learn more about CPR per se. Let's say here's a new protocol by the hospitals. They want us to do this. They want us to, you know.
You're also an EMT.
Correct. Right?
Emergency medical technician.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, the job was not like that when I first came on. We were just first responders, and now it's gone to the EMTBs and the EMT paramedics.
Yeah.
And I think it's important. I mean, you can see yourself.
Well, you better believe it.
I mean, a lot of people, and down here it can be crazy. It's unbelievable. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
So.
And you never know, you know, well, I've told this story before, but I did it when I was writing for the Sun-Times. I had a little girl who was at school, Our Lady of Victory, and she was running to gym class, and she shoved a cupcake in her mouth, and it got lodged in her throat, and they didn't know what to do, and the firemen came, and the kid was blue, and they have this equipment for that, a suction thing.
Correct.
Popped it right out. Kid was saved the kid's life. That's new technology.
It's pretty amazing what they can do now. And now they've changed it. It used to be airway breathing compressions, and now it's CAB, compressions, airway breathing.
Yeah.
And it's just, there was a time where Chicago was considered below standards on our first responders on how we handle guys that go down with heart attacks or so forth.
Yeah.
And I think Seattle was the leading force in how this was happening, and it's really changed. I have to say our program is incredible on where we've been and now where we're at. I mean, we've got competent paramedics and EMTs, and they do their job.
We had just a couple of weeks ago Melanie Howe on the show. Do you know her? She was there, Saved That Baby. And we've also had Pat Fitzmaurice on the show several times.
Okay.
He's in the book there.
Okay.
They get a kick out of it. He's a character.
Yeah.
But just good people, you know, and they know their stuff, and they really are committed. It's great to see that passion. You know, it's not just some guy picking up a check. They are really into it, so God bless them.
You know, you're going to get your guys in like that, but it's I also believe as an officer, it's your job to get these guys into it, and it's easy to do. I mean, you just got to get them wanting to be part of the team, you know.
Sure.
Where we're at, we get a lot of detail guys, so I'm kind of always getting a new face every day.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, hey, man, listen. Here for the day, I get it and all that. You know, we got a few things we might be doing. Just get involved, help the guys out in the kitchen if we need anything, and we'll go through the day on what's going on. But, you know, it is what it is. If you're involved, it just makes the day easier.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting off in the corner, it just makes it harder on the rest of the guys.
Now, any great memories out of those 23 years of, you know, scary, funny? Crazy
A lot of funny stuff, but, you know, I mean, it's...
One thing Jerry Hughes said last week, he says, I'm not going to miss the circus, but I'll miss the clowns.
Yeah, I had a great pleasure of having Herbie Johnson as my...
Oh, sure.
As my...
The late, great Herbie Johnson.
Yeah, he was my instructor in the academy.
Yeah.
So I meet him, and this is a pretty good story. So he's like, listen, man, if I get one more call about how great you are as an athlete and this and that. Says, you know, as a matter of fact, forget it. You are now WGA.
WGA? You're
world's greatest athlete.
Oh,
and so the whole academy, he is busting my chops.
Oh, wow.
Hard. WGA. We have good friends. I actually went to played against his brother Jimmy. He was at Rita and I was at Carmel.
Yeah.
And we were really good friends from the same parish. And
yeah.
Just, he was a really huge personality. One of the biggest personalities I've ever met in my life.
I've heard that, yeah.
Just incredible kind of guy. And he had a real huge influence on me in the academy. I was really proud I'm proud to have known him and just unbelievable. But, so he would just be calling me WGA. And so there was another guy. I'll piggyback on this. Eugene Blackman. I don't know if you've heard his name.
No.
So Eugene Blackman was another one of our instructors in the academy. He ended up dying in a diving incident.
Oh, was this recently?
No,
oh,
okay. That was Juan Busio last year.
Yeah.
So he was at our firehouse as well. God rest his soul. A really good guy. But Eugene was at a river exercise. Blah blah blah. He had a busted belt. Passed away. Unfortunate. You know.
What did that mean? A busted belt.
Well, the thing is his class wasn't. It shouldn't have happened. Is what happened. Is what I'm saying. So. Bottom line is he ended up drowning three boys. I mean, unbelievable. But
He had three boys.
Yes, he had three boys when he passed. But the thing is when we were in the academy, he was a really good guy.
Yeah.
Working hard on us. Him and Herbie are busting our chops. So we're working out at Michigan and, you know where the statues of the legs are? Roosevelt? Is that it?
The statues of the legs?
Just, you know, they got, exactly. They just got half, from the half down. You just see these legs. So we used to go over there, do PT. We're running over and
Blackman. That's why you're in the academy.
Yes, we're in the academy. And Blackman is just screaming at us. I mean, laying into us, MFing us, this and that, and calling us we're nothing, this and that. So I don't know if you know Chief Chikorotis.
No.
So Chikorotis is actually a great chief. He was running the academy at the time, and he's running next to us. He used to do PT with us.
Yeah, and to stay in shape,
Stay in shape, the whole nine yards, and he's jawing and jawing. I go, hey, chief. Yeah, Hugh, what's up? I go, can I take him out? He looks at me, and he's like, really? I go, really? I go, I promise I won't hurt him.
I want to knock him out right now.
I mean, I'm just going to tackle him and put him on the ground because he knew I played rugby and stuff like that. He's like, go ahead.
You had permission.
Sure enough, we're at the park. I take off like a bat out of hell after him. I cut him in half, rolled him to the ground, put his face in the ground, up and gone. He didn't know who hit us.
Oh, wow, that's great.
So we're back at the academy. They're screaming at us. Who did
who
it?
Didn't who didn't even know it was
we're
you?
We're all in the same outfits.
Oh, yeah.
So I just got back in line. We're just jagging along. Nobody gave me up.
We're on the
pike poles. He's like, well, somebody's going to tell you. You're going to tell us. And we're sitting there doing it. Nobody said a word.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was really cool. So that was a fond memory. At the academy anyways. So
now you played football at Carmel. That's not easy. Was the fire academy tougher than that? You know, the double sessions at Carmel, I remember being really tough.
Well, they might be bad at me, but I will say this. I was playing rugby and Irish football at the time, and I thought the academy was easy.
Okay.
In all fairness.
Yeah.
I can't judge it against Carmel, if that makes sense.
Right.
I was already past, played 4 years of college ball and stuff like that. So, but I will say this, it's gotten very, very, very serious. I mean, and I think it should. I mean, to be honest with you.
You got to be in shape and everything.
You know, walking upstairs. Lives at stake. Your life is at stake. You know what I mean? We got to walk up with all this equipment and stuff like that. So you got to be able to do it. I mean, there's no two ways about it. And if you're not taking care of yourself, it's on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
So that's why I coach. I mean, it keeps me young. I'm messing with young guys and all that stuff. So it's fun.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now the season is over now, right?
Yeah, we started in February, if you can believe it. Almost played 50 games, and we had a great year.
You played 50 games?
Yeah.
So it's almost every night, right?
Well, we started in February.
Oh, well, where do you play in February?
We're down in Tennessee.
Oh, you travel.
Yeah, we got to go where the weather is.
Yeah.
So,
oh, man.
I mean, it's college, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's not big-time college, but, you know, it's still college ball.
And when's the season start up again?
So we're done for now. We're going to relax and get our organization going, but we're already locking guys in for next year.
Do you recruit for Moraine Valley? Yeah,
we do. We've got a lot of a great recruiting class coming in this year. So.
And where do you scout them? In the high schools?
Well, we're a community college, NRAD, which I agree with.
What's NRAD? What's that?
Athletic director.
Oh, okay.
Wants us to recruit in the area.
Oh, that's
good.
Of course, yeah.
Which I agree. So, like, we get kids from all around. I mean, our baseball here in Chicago is very good. We've got tons of kids that are traveling all over the country, and they're playing, and they're making pros, and they're paying big-time ball. So I'm trying to get kids to stay home because I think college is a very, very huge expense, as they know. And if you go to a JUCO route, you can kill two birds with one stone, get your associates, go for less money, and then you can go on and play bigger ball somewhere else and get money to do that, too. So that's what we're trying to do at Moraine.
You got a good speech for the parents, obviously.
Oh, yeah, I got it all laid out. Yeah. I got it all. Well, being a parent and having four kids,
sure.
Three gone through college, or going through college and as well, I understand the stress of
yeah.
it all. You know
oh,
what I mean?
You ain't kidding. Yeah. Now, I was reading your bio on the Cyclones page, and it says you're going to eventually get a degree in math and hang it up and just teach. Is that the plan?
Yeah, what I'm trying to do is...
How does a jock get into math? It doesn't seem like the two go together.
I just was good at it. I had yeah. a couple of good teachers at it. Yeah. It's funny because my kids come to me all the time that are in college and like, hey, man, I got a problem here. I was going to be an actuary if you wanted to know.
Wow. Yeah.
But it was so intense. I'm like, man, this ain't me, man.
Yeah.
I would have been on a pole somewhere. I don't know. But... And I just like math. I like the structure of it. I guess whatever it is, maybe I'm, what do they call it? I'm control, kind of a control guy.
Yeah.
You know what I understand? Yeah. So maybe with coaching, but I actually want to teach and coach, and I haven't decided whether I want to do high school or college. I love college. I think I'd like to stay at that level.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
it's definitely different. And my kids enjoy it, so, you know, they get a kick out of it. So,
do they help you?
No,
oh,
God,
okay.
No. We can't. They don't want.
Oh,
to
you when you say my kids, you mean the kids that are
yeah,
playing for you?
Yes, correct.
Okay, all right.
Well, yeah. I feel like, you know, if you're not helping, if you can't, I just think it's a big part in their time in their life to learn about responsibilities in life, especially
sure.
at the college level, trying to teach them to be responsible, understand that it's more to life than where they've been for the last 18 years. Because I'm right. obviously. It's time to grow up, you know. It's that serious. And some of these guys, you know, they seem to respond. But like I said, it's hard. I haven't gone through it.
How big is your roster?
26 to 30 guys.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a lot is right.
Were you a pitcher?
No, I was an outfielder, hitter.
Okay.
Hitter, outfielder, I should say.
Oh, so you had you were good with the bat, huh?
Yeah, I enjoyed hitting very
yeah,
much so.
Yeah.
So
now, did you have any pro tryouts or anything like that?
You know, I was good. I just wasn't fast enough, man, I guess. I don't know. I guess.
This guy's a trip.
I don't even know. I could hit the heck out of a ball. I know that. But I played with a lot of boys that played in the pros.
Yeah.
Actually, after I was done my senior in college, I had a chance to go and play some... What do you call it, independent league or
yeah.
something like that? And I just was satisfied, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And I was
yeah.
playing Irish football and rugby.
Yeah.
And I was actually really into that, so I kind of just went into that.
Do you still go to the Irish football matches?
All
and
the
stuff?
Time.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, all my buddies are running it and
oh,
stuff
that's
like
terrific.
That. And it's kind of nice having that rugby, Irish football, baseball, college background. From what I've learned from all the coaches in my lifetime, has helped me be a better coach. If that
yeah.
makes sense, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Of course.
So,
yeah.
I there's so many nuances and little things, you know, all I can say is, but it's fun, you know, it's been a great experience, I can tell you that.
It's been a great experience having you on the show. Yeah. Thanks for the segue. Folks, we've been talking to Lieutenant Hugh Dennehy of Chicago Fire Department, 23-year veteran. He's the head baseball coach at Moraine Valley Junior College. Is it Junior College?
Community College.
Community College. And he's a carpenter, and he's a terrific guy. And thanks so much for you. I salute you for all you do to the city and for those kids and everything. Thanks a million.
Mike, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. God
Cheers.
Bless you. We're going to take a little break here on the Hibernian Radio Show. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan back here on Hibernian Radio. Hey, thanks to Hugh Dennehy, he was terrific. He's got a plan, that's for sure. There's no question about it. He's a man with a plan. And he'd be a good guy to coach your kids. I hope he comes back sometime. Yeah, he also has had a band. He played with Jimmy Clunan for years. But we didn't make him do that tonight. We're so glad you're with us here tonight. And got a lot of stuff coming up this summer. But first, I want to tell you that, you know, whenever I walk down Western Avenue and I look in the window at Ken's or Rong's or Hart's or any of those great Irish saloons, and I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist. And he says to me, "Hey, Wooly, who died?" Edward Gerard Barnacle, age 84, born in County Mayo, Newbrook, a loving husband of Anne for 53 years and the father of Sheila, Mary, Kevin, and the late Gerard. God rest his soul, Ed Barnacle. Also Marty McGowan, Martin E. McGowan, 76, devoted husband of 51 years to Maureen and the father of Shannon, Patsy, Molly, and the late Mary. Marty was born to loving Irish immigrants, the late Mary and Patrick McGowan, in Chicago. Marty graduated from St. Mary the Lake Elementary School, St. Mel High School, and Murray State University. He was an active parishioner of St. Giles in Oak Park and St. Anne's in Naples, Florida. and a dedicated board member of the Forest Glen Golf and Country Club in Naples, Florida. Sounds like he had a pretty good run. Martin McGowan, God rest his soul, Marty McGowan. Also, Michael, you know what? One thing I wanted to tell you about Ed Barnacle is his wife was a nurse and a very good friend of our old friend Mary O'D. So I don't want to leave that out. And of course, PJ is our scout every week and gives us all the obits. So thanks, PJ and Mary. All right, Michael C. Garvey, age 84, formerly of Ennis, County Clare, husband of Elizabeth, fond father of Michael, John, Sean, and the late Anthony. God rest his soul, Mike Garvey, 84. Also, Marianne Manning, age 90, native of Dingle, County Kerry, Ireland, my favorite spot in Ireland. She's the beloved wife of the late Thomas J. Manning and the loving mother of John, Tom Jr., Joe, Barb, Michael, and Mary. God rest her soul, Marianne Manning, and she was waked where all the right people go, she's. Also, Kathleen Katie Duffy, Nee Compton. She attended Mount St. Scholastica and shortly after journeyed west to work at Yellowstone National Park. After World War II, she married Dick Duffy and moved to Chicago. Katie and Dick, devoted Irish Catholics, had 11 children between the years of 1950 and 1966, and eventually settling in Beverly on the southwest side of Chicago. Their strong faith empowered them to make the sacrifices necessary to send all 11 children through grade school, high school, and college. God bless them. So say a prayer for Katie Duffy and her entire family. God rest her soul. And I think that's it. Once again, thanks to PJ for our weekly obits. And we can close up the crypt, Billy. And now, you know, we have all kinds of announcements coming up, but I had a great honor this week. I was inducted into the Emerald Society of Illinois, which is the, thank you, Billy, which is the Irish American Police Association. And merely because of this show, I'm sure, and our friend Jeff Lang put that together. And we really appreciate that. Next Monday night, June 10th, is their big Rib Fest over at the FOP Lodge. Actually, I have a flyer on that. But they're going to be giving out some awards. And first of all, I want to thank them for including me in the Emerald Society. I'm really honored. And that's something I can carry with me the rest of my life, as long as I keep paying the dues. The Emerald Society of Illinois, they're the Irish American Police Association, having their big meeting, annual Rib Fest and Award night, Monday, June 10th, 2019, at 7 o'clock, Chicago FOP Lodge 7, 1412 West Washington Boulevard. They're going to have beverage specials and dinner provided. Their award-winning barbecue ribs, along with roasted sweet corn. Hey, Ronnie Marasso's in the house, the mayor. Is here. So I hope to see everybody there. I'm going to be there with my son, I think, or else my wife. Go to www.emeraldsocietyofillinois.org and we'll see you there Monday night, June 10th at the Emerald Society of Illinois. Also, one of the things they're going to do is give out an award, and one of the awards they're giving to is presented to members of the Goonie Boss Street Gang Task Force. These are cops, obviously. The task force is comprised of members from the FBI Chicago office and Chicago Police Department. The task force has arrested 18 members of the Goonie Boss Street Gang on 11 previously unsolved murders and several federal firearm cases, most of which occurred in the Chicago Police Englewood District, 7th District. They're going to be honoring FBI Supervising Special Agent Michael Brown, Special Agent Tom Callahan, Special Agent Andrew Olson, Chicago Police Department Deputy Chief of Patrol Randy Darlin, Lieutenant Greg Daly, Sergeant Brian Gunnell, Sergeant Daniel Sullivan, Detective Henry Barsh, Detective Donald Hill, and Police Officer Kylene Cowie. They're going to all be presented on Monday, June 10th at the Emerald Society, so check it out. Hope you can join us. We'd love to be there and lift a jar with you. So we're going to take another break here on Hibernian Radio, and we'll be back maybe with a little Hooley Town coming up, so stick around.
There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
If you're looking for an office in the loop, you gotta check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did. This is Mike Houlihan. I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years, since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has saved and changed millions of lives. It's been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There is no more Irish thing you can do.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call them today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero, and tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
Ring-a-ring, Rosie, as the lights decline, I remember Dublin City in the rare old time. Raising songs and stories, heroes of renown, the passing tales and glories that once were Dublin town. The halls and houses haunting children rise, were once in Dublin City in the rare old time. Ring-a-ring, Rosie, as lights decline, I remember Dublin City in the rare old time. For my name, Sean Dempsey, Dublin as can be, born hard and laid in Pimlico, in a house that sees the bee. By trade I was a cooper, lost and on the sea, like my house that fell to progress, my trade's a memory. Ring a ring, Rosie, as the lights decline, I remember Dublin City in the rare old time. I courted Peggy Dignan, pretty as you please, a rare old child to marry with rebel liberties. I lost her to a student chap, skin as black as coal, and he took her off the Birmingham, he took away my soul. Ring-a-ring, Rosie, as the lights decline, I remember Dublin City in the rare old time. For the years they've made me bitter, the gargle dims my brain, but Dublin keeps on changing and nothing seems the same. The Pillar and the Met have gone, the Royal Long pulled down, as grey unyielding concrete, the city, my town. Ring a ring, Rosie, as the lights decline, I remember Dublin City in the rare old time.
Reporting now from River Forest, Charlotte Houlihan's going to tell us about the Ariana Grande concert last night. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi. I thought that the concert was stunning and it was so beautiful. My favorite part was the end when Ariana sang Thank You Next and the confetti came from the stage. It was flying everywhere and it was also really fun. This was the best concert I've ever been to and I have zero complaints. So remember, this is the best show ever and also you definitely should go.
Is this Charlotte Houlihan signing off for Hoolytown?
Yes.
And we're back on Hibernian Radio. We're having a blast here tonight. Once again, out on the patio at Lizzie McNeil's. You won't find a better place to have a beer on a summer night. Please join us any Wednesday night. We're always going to be here with either some police, firefighters, or paramedics. Actually, I don't know if we have any. We got some music scheduled next week. And we also have a friend of Pat Fitzmaurice on the show next week, who is an Irish expat. But lots of stuff coming up. Hey, if you're headed over to Western Avenue tonight or anytime this weekend, stop in and say hello to our friends Mary and Bernard at Barney Callahan's Irish Pub, 10618 Southwestern. It's the perfect Southside Irish bar, and there's always something going on there. And tell them Hooley sent you. Now, they have this big event coming up at Barney Callahan's on Saturday, June 29th. Country on Western Music Festival goes on all day. Tickets available at countryonwestern.com. You're going to want to check that out. Saturday, June 29th, Country on Western Music Festival. Don't miss it. Also, I want to remind everybody, on Thursday, June 20th, I'm going to be at the Mount Greenwood Library, which is at like 11010 South Kedzie. and I'm reading from, I'm telling some stories, basically, from my books, and from Nothing's on the Square, from hooliganism columns, from Going East on Ashland. It'll be a fun night of stories and some new stuff called Southside Irish Mythology. And I'm sure hope you can help join me. I'm starting at 6 o'clock over at the Mount Greenwood Library on Thursday, June 20th. Be there or be square. And don't forget, we can still get in on the Ireland trip. I think we only got like 6 or 8 seats left. But we're going with Liam Durkin. We're going in October. October 9th to the 11th. October 11th to the 19th. We're hitting Dingle. We're hitting Kerry. We're hitting Killarney. We're hitting... Yeah, we're going. Everybody, check it out. You can see the big ad in the Irish American News. You can download the brochure there. But we're having a big night at Chief O'Neill's, 3471 North Elston Avenue, on Sunday, June 23rd, and Liam is going to play some tunes for us, and we hope you can join us, and you can get to watch the kid in action. He's dynamite, and this will be his first trip to Ireland, and one that anybody going will never forget. Okay, now I think, Billy, what we've all been waiting for, we take a little trip. One of my favorite places, it's a little place called Hooley Town.
Deep, deep in deep, the south deep. Side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep. All deep. The way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks where they only spoke Yakety-Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bones and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Can I get you two?
This yeah. is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The mix what? On his teeth.
Oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy...
Have a seat.
Known as... Hooley Town.
Hooley Town.
Welcome to Hooley Town. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hooley Town.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, welcome to Hooley Town, everybody. It's my favorite place. Big thanks to our old pal Greg Holloman for doing the intro on that. He made it up. And it works. But love being here in Hooley Town because things are a little different here, folks. A little bit stranger. A little bit more off balance. And I wonder if, Billy, if you could please give me a hand with this door. Push it. Joe Jonas says Taylor Swift's apology for calling him out on TV in 2008 felt nice.
Who cares?
Exclusive! Hailey Baldwin and Justin Bieber may have just nailed down a wedding date. Oh, what the heck? Who cares? There we go. Jennifer Aniston thinks the entire Friends cast would be down for a reunion.
Who cares?
Jojo Fletcher comes to the rescue after Jordan Roger gets a nail stuck in his butt cheek.
Who cares?
I don't even know who those people are. Kim Kardashian reacts after finding out daughter's hamster died. I don't know what to do.
Who cares?
Pippa Middleton's sister-in-law, Vogue Williams, slams Khloe Kardashian for her detox shakes.
Who cares?
Having children changed Elton John's life.
Who cares?
Exclusive and finally, George Clooney's kids have British accents.
Who cares?
Close it up. Push it. Oh, wait, let me climb up there. And I got to reach that latch at the top. It's just out of reach. I got it. Thank you, Billy. Oh, it's so much fun here in Hooley Town. Oh, my God. We just had a guest drop in. Skinny's here, folks. I'm nonplussed. That's all I can tell you. You know what? Now I hear it here in Hooley Town. We do tell some stories. Now, that's the beauty of it. Skinny's here now, but he would never let me tell a story like this on the air when he was here. So this little story I told. You know, I mowed the lawn today, and after doing so, I sat down and had a cold beer. The day was really quite beautiful, and the drink facilitated some deep thinking. My wife walked by and asked me what I was doing, and I said nothing. The reason I said that is instead of just thinking, is because she would have said, about what? At that point, I would have to explain. Men are deep thinkers about various topics, which would then lead to other questions. Finally, I thought about an age-old question. Is giving birth more painful than getting kicked in the cojones? Women always mention that giving birth is way more painful than a guy getting kicked in the cojones. Well, after another beer and some heavy deductive reasoning, I arrived at the answer to that question. Getting kicked in the cojones is clearly more painful than having a baby, and here's the reason for my conclusion. A year or so after giving birth, a woman will often say, it might be nice to have more children. On the other hand, you never hear a guy say, you know, I think I'd like to get kicked in the balls again. Okay, you're in Hooleytown. It's okay. At the restaurant the other evening, I asked the waiter, hey, how do you prepare your chicken? He looked at me and said, well, nothing special, really. We just tell them they're going to die. Oh, having a blast. During a funeral, the pallbearers accidentally bump into a wall whilst carrying the coffin. And when they do so, they hear a faint moan. They open the casket and only find that the woman inside is actually alive. She lives for 10 more years after this and eventually dies. And so there's another funeral for her. At the end of the service, as the pallbearers carry out the casket, the husband cries out, watch out for the wall this time, will you? I went to the doctor today, and he said, don't eat anything fatty. I said, what, like no bacon or sausages or burgers or anything? He said, no fatty, just don't eat anything. Okay. For my birthday, my friend bought me a book called Roadkill Recipes. As luck would have it, the next day I came across some roadkill, so I cooked it according to one of the recipes in the book, and it was delicious. I wasn't sure what to do with the kid's bike, though. Okay, that was borderline. One more. Do I have time for one more? Okay, young boy had just gotten his driving permit. He asked his father, who was a minister, if they could discuss the use of his family car. His father took him to the study and said, I'll make a deal with you. You bring your grades up, you study the Bible a little, get your hair cut, and then we'll talk about it. After about a month, the boy came back and again asked his father if they could talk about him taking the car. They again went into the father's study where the father said, son, I've been very proud of you. You brought your grades up. You studied the Bible diligently, but you didn't get your hair cut. The young man waited a moment and then replied, you know, Dad, I've been thinking about that. You know, Samson had long hair. Moses had long hair. Noah had long hair. Even Jesus had long hair. His dad said, yes. And everywhere they went, they walked. Okay, let's close it up. We're going to have to leave Hooleytown now. We're having a blast here, folks. Skinny's gone. You missed him. Well, he would have told me. Oh, he had that joke he wanted to tell me. Hold on, Skinny. All right, so two nuns walk into a bar. This is a joke Skinny told me. Two nuns walk into a bar, and Lori Lightfoot's behind the bar. And she says, ladies, we don't have time. Next week. Thanks for coming, everybody. We'll see you next week. God bless you all, and see you later. Bye.
See how far I was from God. And I buckled up my shoes, and then I started walking. And I started walking. Just a